Okay. So I think last year we spent a lot of time talking in the first half of the Parsha on the intro story, and then not as much on Aseret HaDibrot. So let's jump to the to there. So I want to focus on a phenomenon right before Aseret HaDibrot, and that is the following. God says, "Vayomer Adonai Moshe, Hinei Anochi Bai Elecha Ba'av Ha'anan Ba'avur Yishma Ha'am B'daberi Imach V'gam V'cha Ya'aminu Le'olam V'yageit Moshe Divrei Ha'am El Adonai." So God tells Moshe that he's going to reveal himself in the cloud so that the people will listen to him and they will believe in him forever. The problem is that within a few psukim, what do you find? Well, that comes quickly, but before we get that, even before we get to problems of faith, which obviously happens later in the Parsha, but what do we have later? What do the people say to God, to Moshe rather? Right? They say, right, that we can't handle it. Right? They can't handle it. They want Moshe to be their intermediary. Right? Yep. Right. Now, Chazal note that the divide may be between the first two Makot, first two Dibrot and the rest of the Dibrot. Why do Chazal pick that division point? Because the first two Dibrot are written in second person, and after that it's in third person. Right? Anochi Hashem Elokecha, God is clearly talking to them. And then by the third is Lo Tisad Hashem Elokecha Lashav. Right? Which is why Chazal pick up on the dividing point being the third. But the bigger problem that Mepharshim dealt with, which is, okay, God clearly knew that the people couldn't handle it long term, right? God is omniscient. So why? What was the benefit of God exposing them to direct prophecy for whatever part of the Dibrot he did, whether you think it's the first two or it's all of them, and then for the rest of the Torah, they want Moshe, whatever you think it is, why would God do that? I mean, what's the benefit of giving them temporary, intense nevuah, only for them not to be able to handle it and to beg to go back to the world of an intermediary? So what do you think? What? They wouldn't ask for nevuah later on because they couldn't handle it. Is that what you're saying? About what? Okay, right. I mean, it could be that you have to show someone that they can't handle direct communication for them to be okay with nevuah. So here's what you get, right? You get different possibilities. Ibn Ezra says, "Ki hayu Yisrael anashim shaita lahem anevuah b'safek." Ibn Ezra says, look, they needed that prophecy at least once because they were doubtful as to the existence of prophecy. So they had to experience it once so that after that they would believe in such a thing called prophecy. The Ramban says, "Ma pitam, veinene nachon." What are you talking about? Jews knew about prophecy. They believed in prophecy. Besides, even if you don't want to take that view, there's very simple proof that they didn't doubt the existence of prophecy, which is that in last week's parsha, Vayaminu Vashem Moshe Avdo. Right? Clearly, they did believe in nevuah. They got to that point, meaning it's very nice to say they doubted, but the Pasuk says that already in Beshalach, they got to the point where they believed in Moshe. So to say that they doubted the existence of prophecy seems odd. So Ramban rejects it. So what does Ramban say? V'nachon b'einai, sh'amar ani ba ilecha b'avanan, sh'tigash ata el ha'arafel b'avur yishma ha'am dvari, v'yu'em atzman nevi'im b'dvarai, lo sh'aminu v'pi acherim. I want them to come into the mountain, into the cloud on the mountain, so that they will be prophets themselves and not get it through intermediary. Why? Because I want them to believe in you, Moshe. Keneged Varecha Yachishu Miyad. It's not that I need them to believe in prophecy. I need them to believe in your prophecy, Moshe's prophecy. Why? Because God needed to obviate the possibility that a later prophet would be able to override Moshe. How are you going to do that? Right? Remember, this is in Dvarim. Right? If there will be a Navi who tells you to leave the Torah, don't believe him. Why not? The answer is, as the Rambam also notes, why don't you believe the future Nevi'im who go against the Torah? Because Matan Torah is a different level. It's not Stam Nevuah. Right, for the Ramban, the answer, right, for the Rambam, it's because revelation is higher than Nevuah, and therefore revelation can never be overridden by Nevuah. The Ramban says it's a little bit more simple than that, which is your Nevuah can never be overridden by someone else's Nevuah. And if they had only heard from Moshe, then the Torah would have been transmitted by an intermediary, and therefore a later Navi could possibly have overridden Moshe. But if their belief in Moshe's Nevuah is direct, because they were exposed to enough Nevuah to know, right, and then they ask that Moshe tell them the rest, that means that they know Moshe's Nevuah through firsthand knowledge is true, which means that it can't be overridden. Let me just finish the Ramban. Since they had seen with their eyes and heard with their ears that reached this level, and they will understand for a moment that your Moshe, your Nevuah, isn't just prophecy, it's panim el panim, because I'll give them a taste of what you experience, so that they'll know forever that your Nevuah is qualitatively different. And that's when they say that we know that God can speak to people and they will live. Meaning we saw with our eyes what God wanted. But once we know that you're true, we glimpsed it, so we know you're at that highest level. We'll believe you. We don't need to experience ourselves. So in different ways, but more explicit in the Ramban, what the Ramban is saying is that the Jews need to experience it. Really, they couldn't handle it. And that's why you see that very quickly they're like, listen, Moshe, just do it yourself. We can't handle it. But if God knew they couldn't handle it, then why do you let them experience? For the Ramban, the answer is it's instrumental. Right? They needed a moment to be overwhelmed so that they could understand what it was that Moshe was getting, so that they would be able to really believe that his Nevuah is unique, so that it could never be challenged in their minds. But that's why you see that they can't handle it, because they're not really Nevi'im. They're not really Misugal to be Nevi'im. This was exceptional circumstances, which was setting them up to understand what Nevuah really was, at least Moshe's Nevuah really was. Yes, Chaim. Yes. Right, was that they clearly believe in Nevuah as an institution. What? No. So, right, his point is, the Ezra's claim that they don't believe in Nevuah, that doesn't seem to be clear. That doesn't seem to be true. They believe in prophecy. Right? Meaning, the very fact that they believe in Moshe's prophecy, even for a minute, means that they believe in the institution of prophecy. Meaning, that's not, it doesn't seem to be something hard for them to believe. Right, but the Ramban's argument is that doesn't seem to be true. Meaning, there are certain things, it doesn't seem to have been like a chiddush to them. Right? The fact that there is Nevuah, meaning, the Ramban's point, again, you could argue it and say, oh, maybe they only believed in that, but it doesn't seem like that. It doesn't seem like they ever challenge the notion that there is prophecy. Right? There's no evidence at any point that they don't believe that there's such a thing as prophecy.
Yeah,
No. Meaning the Ramban's point is that it seems to be unlikely that like the that they didn't believe in Nevuah, or they were unsure about the existence of Nevuah. Because if you're unsure of the existence of Nevuah bichlal, right? That you just don't think there's such a thing. That doesn't seem to accord with the story as we know it, because the Jews consistently seem to be fine with the notion of Nevuah, right? I mean, they grew up, right? He also says they grew up in the story of the Avot who have Nevuah. Moshe, the fact they're so quick to believe in it, they clearly backtrack, but they never say God doesn't exist or God doesn't talk to man, right? That's not what they ever say. Maybe you don't represent him, right? Meaning, the notion that God speaks to man, right? They don't challenge, right? Even Korach, right? His challenge is everybody is holy. We all saw it at Har Sinai, right? No one ever seems to challenge the notion of Nevuah, right? But what the Ramban says is that what's more in question is whether they are going to be able to withstand, and this is what you see their challenges. It doesn't mean it's going to succeed, right? Meaning, but their challenge seems to be with Moshe. Are they going to believe that there's something unique about Moshe? And we see it. That's the challenge that they face. But that's what they need to believe. Because remember, as it says in Devarim, if there's a Navi that comes in the future and tells you through miracles not to believe in the Torah, so you have to know to listen to me. The Ramban is trying to figure out, like the Rambam, well, how do you theologically justify that and say that, well, you believe in a Navi now, but don't believe in a Navi who contradicts this? So for the Ramban, the answer is they need to experience it for a minute so they understand that God's level, that Moshe's level of Nevuah is higher by getting a glimpse into it so that they may... You always have free will to deny it. But the point is, you've had a direct experience that Moshe's Nevuah is unique. So now, you should have the intellectual artillery to deny the challenge of a future Navi. That doesn't mean you're going to, right? You're never going to be perfect, but that's his argument. But... So... I don't know what it means to experience any type of Nevuah, but that's the Ramban's argument, and the Rambam also, right? That at that moment they were exposed to it, and I don't know. I guess you have to, you understand it when you see it. I don't know. I don't know what to tell you. I assume that's what it is, right? You have to assume that. You have to assume that that's what's going on. I don't know what that means because I have never experienced it. But I think what both of them are getting at, and I think this is, however you want to put it, this will be the same, is that what's common to both Ibn Ezra and the Ramban is that they weren't really misugal to be Nevi'im. Right? And that's why you shouldn't be surprised that they are scared of it and overwhelmed by it and ask Moshe to take over as intermediary, because the whole point of the Ramban and Ibn Ezra is that they're not really deserving of being Nevi'im. Right? They just needed to experience it so that ... Well, once you say it's instrumental, you understand why, on the one hand, God gives them the experience, even though he knows they can't really handle it. Because that's the whole point, is they need to experience it for a moment, and then they can realize they can't handle it and can be okay with an intermediary. But they need to choose that. They need to... I mean, that's part of the naze, right? For the Rambam, it's a much bigger naze, because the Rambam thinks to be a Navi is to be philosophically perfected, which not everyone seems to believe, right? But yes, for the Rambam, presumably, the miracle, part of the miracle of revelation is that even people who aren't ostensibly really worthy of it got some level of whatever. He also qualitatively distinguishes between revelation and mere prophecy. What exactly that means is, you know, maybe a story for another time. But yeah. Okay, let's stop there for today.